This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just realized I still have a pile of marshmallows sitting on a paper towel in front of me. I just made producer Chris come in and take out the nasty trash can in which we all upchucked our marshmallows. Man, that was a miserable fail for me. I could not hang with the guys. I guess I've realized my limitations. But Chubby Bunny champion Dave will have to defend his title in the next year. So we'll make this an annual thing. It was supposed to be an annual thing back when we started, but we've had such unbelievable turnover. So I don't know how Dave is feeling now. I don't mind the fact that there are marshmallows sitting here, but I definitely did know that I would be gagging at some point, and I feel as though that made me gag earlier than I needed to.
You actually ate all of the marshmallows that were in my
mouth? All of them?
Yeah, it was a poor decision.
How many did you end up with? Seven?
Seven or eight. I lost.
My gosh. So your stomach then is dealing with the fallout.
Yeah.
Seven marshmallows all at once. So that is about 33 grams of sugar down the hatch at the same time.
What is yes?
Oh, that makes me want to throw up myself. So I'm glad that you all enjoyed Chubby Bunny. That makes me happy. However, I'm glad we only do it once a year. So if you missed it live on the air, there will be a video posted on our YouTube channel once I've had the chance to go back and review it, because that cannot be posted on the internet for all the world to see if I have not approved it. I mean, we're going to post it, but I just need to make sure that I didn't do anything completely embarrassing. But thanks again to Brian coming in just to be part of Chubby Bunny. Did he already leave? Bye, Brian. And Kevin, who was in here to do some other really important work for the network, and instead we stole him away so that he could tape the game show that we were playing here on After Hours. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You all are coming out of the woodwork now to answer our question for this particular show. It has nothing to do with marshmallows or bunnies or being chubby. Instead, we're asking you, in the wake of the fallout from the Game of Thrones series finale, what TV finales did you absolutely love? In fact, they left you with the idea that the show was perfect. If you couldn't have it continuing on in perpetuity, well, at least you got a happy ending, or an ending that you felt like addressed many of your questions and gave you the proper opportunity to mourn its passing. But there are also TV finales that do the opposite. Not only do they rip your heart out, but they leave you with more questions than answers. And those really bother me. And I go back to the Lost series finale over and over again. It stunk. And I didn't, not only did I not like it, I didn't feel like it provided me any satisfaction with the characters or all the time I've invested, but I didn't really get it. I've read about it. I'd watched it more than once. I still don't get it. And so it left me not only feeling unsatisfied, but it left me feeling like I had wasted all of my time on that TV series. And I was at six or seven seasons. Maybe it was eight. I don't think it was eight. But yeah, I felt like, when my niece told me she started binge watching Lost with my brother, I wanted to warn her. Don't, because you'll get to the ending and you will realize that you just wasted all your time. So we're asking you about TV series finales, from the epic to the epic fails. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Producer Chris will retweet some of these. It's great to hear from so many of you all over the country. We've had calls from Alaska. We've had calls from Atlanta. We've had calls from everywhere in between. And people who are finding us who don't normally weigh in on social media. So we've got a spot on our Facebook page or our Twitter accounts, either our show Twitter or mine, A-Law Radio. And I appreciate that we've got multiple generations of TV viewers as well, because some of you go way back to shows like Newhart and MASH, Married with Children, Others of you are more recent, so Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones or Big Bang Theory that just actually wrapped up in the last month or so. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And as always, it is toll free. Leonard is listening in Idaho. Leonard, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
I love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I didn't get a chance to look it up, to research, but the show, there was the Bob Newhart show, and then there was his show where he was the owner of an inn somewhere on the East Coast, I think, and then that show ended with him waking up with his wife from the original Bob Newhart show, and his whole show that he had been the owner of the inn was just for him a dream, and that was... yeah, very sort of like, not only clever, but it was typical Bob Newhart, I guess, where he was sort of deadpan or something like that. So,
but did you buy it, though? Did it seem plausible to you that an entire series could be just a dream?
Oh, yes. Well, just with his type of humor, Bob Newhart's humor, where, yeah, he would do that on both shows, sort of that odd twist in the characters he brought in with both shows, sort of... very quirky and understandable, and I remember laughing hysterically just and then calling out my friend, like, did you see that and such. So that was really funny. And congratulations to Dave on the win. And you were laughing hysterically yourself.
I know. That dooms me every time.
Very nice. I listen to your show a lot, and I drive a courier route where your laugh is very intoxicating. I have to sort of watch as I drive to keep myself steady on the road.
Yeah, please don't drive off the road. I would hate to be responsible
for that.
Well,
I don't want that. But it's very entertaining, and it's glad to keep myself amused as I'm driving a lot to take care of. So
good. Well, I hope that you do not have an urge to eat marshmallows, because they're not really all that good.
Yeah, that sounded pretty, like you definitely have to have something else in your stomach when you eat them. So,
I can't even think about eating right now. Although,
protein or something.
Popcorn sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Leonard. We're happy to keep you company.
Oh, well, thanks so much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. 855-212-4227. I had moved the monitor off of its regular desk here in front of me so that we could have easier time taping Chubby Bunny, videotaping it. And now I have to reach way off the microphone to touch that computer screen. So hold on one second.
The computer screen is back in its rightful place.
Yeah, so thank you for the play-by-play, Chris. So the naked woman started the show, not me, a different woman. And then we did Chubby Bunny and marshmallows being spewed from mouths. And now I don't know what to do with these marshmallows. What do I do with the marshmallows? I feel bad wasting the food, but I can't even fathom eating a marshmallow right now. In fact, just looking at the marshmallows has made me feel slightly ill. I think for Dave's sake, I should cover up these marshmallows. Where's the bag?
I took the bag.
You took the bag?
I had planned to eat them, and then I changed my mind.
Oh, what
They're
did you...
They're in here.
Oh, so, yeah, I don't know what to do with these. I actually do make the pumpkin s'mores, and so I keep marshmallows on hand. But generally, when I do the pumpkin s'mores, I use the mini marshmallows, just because that way you have them kind of mixed with the pumpkin and the chocolate chips. But maybe I could use these. But I feel it feels weird to have an open bag of marshmallows and what do? Put a twist tie on it? Actually, I don't really want to see any marshmallows. So maybe I'll just put them out there on the counter and see if anyone eats them. I mean, they're still soft and smushy right now. Or we can make smiley faces on them, put them on toothpicks, and like give them away as gifts.
I was going to say, I think I'm good for about 6 months until I eat another marshmallow.
Okay, well, in a year's time, mark it down. Does somebody have a calendar that we can write this on?
Producer Chris put a reminder in his phone already.
He did?
He did.
You did?
He's very efficient.
Did you really?
5:23:20.
Wow, that's not nerdy at all.
Can we pelt them at Andrew Bogish when he comes into the studio?
We can do that. He's going to be mad at us because we ruined his workspace. We can really pelt them at anyone. The boss will be walking by the studio in an hour or so as well. So, yeah, so this is awesome. We have leftover marshmallows if anyone is interested. I can't believe I gagged before even four. This is just terrible. The host of your show is not good at this kind of stuff. I caved under the pressure. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Definitely something in sports that caught my attention on Wednesday. The fact that Dan Gilbert cannot stop from sharing with you how he feels about LeBron James. Now, I believe in this second decision, actually, it'd be the third decision of LeBron's, but his second decision to leave Cleveland, that Gilbert handled it much more professionally. And so his comments are more calculated, I believe, carefully considered. He didn't say anything that he can't explain or justify if he needs to. But at the same time, I do find it a little bit humorous that he can't just zip it when it comes to LeBron James. So here's kind of the situation. And this comes from Cleveland.com. Dan Gilbert, who's the owner of the Cavaliers, did a kind of a sit down with Terry Pluto of the Plain Dealer. This was after John Beilein was hired to take over as the head coach. Remember, he left Michigan. He's now in Cleveland. And Gilbert was kind of protesting the idea that he had anything to do with this hiring. He says, no way, this is Kobe Altman's show now. Kobe the GM. This is all about Kobe, K-O-B-Y, not K-O-B-E. And that this was his decision to hire John Beilein, not mine. And so after he goes into the details, which are really fascinating, actually, because Kobe Altman wanted to hire John Beilein, but Gilbert went to close the deal, almost like a head coach who follows up after his recruiting coordinator has laid the groundwork. He then follows up and closes the deal. So if you're Nick Saban or John Calipari or Mike Krzyzewski, you don't make the initial visit. In most cases, you don't make the initial visit to a young man or young woman's living room. Gino Auriemma, another great example. You have recruiting coordinators and assistant coaches who go out and they put feelers out. They have the initial meetings. They go and scout the players and they decide whether or not it's worth the head coach's time. But when it comes to closing the deal, then you bring out the big guns, which is where these big head coaches come in. And also where Dan Gilbert came in. He had to agree to hire John Beilein and also had to agree on the contract term. So that was the owner's responsibility. So after he's talking about this with Terry of the Plain Dealer, then he starts talking about LeBron. And I find it amusing that he can't help himself. And it's not so much a negative, like the way he spewed vitriol after LeBron James as he was departing for South Beach in Miami. That was in anger and that was in frustration. And I understood that then because LeBron left without telling the Cavaliers first. And I've talked about this ad nauseum many times when it happened and in the years since. It was extremely unprofessional of LeBron James to not tell his company that he was leaving before he announced it to the world. That was the worst example of how you make a professional decision. And LeBron has admitted that he didn't handle that well. So that's nothing new. So Gilbert was reacting in the moment and after the fact. Well, he didn't do that in the same way. And it's been not quite a year, but it's been, what, 8-9 months since LeBron decided to leave. And so He's had time to think about it, but he still can't help himself. He still has to tell you what he feels about LeBron James and how him being back with the Cavaliers changed the franchise. And so I'll talk to you about that a little bit. I'm also writing a CBS Sports Minute on it, and I'd love to get your reaction. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. The TV series finales that you loved and the ones that you hated. And then we'll take more of your phone calls, too. 855-212-4227. We're still recovering from near death by marshmallows. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We're going to do an 80s night. We should do a week where we do all the decades, right? I mean, I'm not a big fan of 70s music, but I know there are a lot of people out there. How far back should we go? 60s? 60s? Wait, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the 2000s? That would be so much fun. Let's do that when we get to the summer. Do a week in which we have one night devoted to a decade of music. That would be so cool. I would love that. And the 80s and 90s will be the coolest, of course. And then we're also going to do a battle of the bands this summer, too, because I know some of you in the past have volunteered to write music about our show. We do have a rap. Actually, can we start the next hour with the After Hours rap? That'll be cool. We have one rap that was written for our show, and others of you have told us that you could make music, sweet music, about After Hours. So we'll give you that chance this summer. We got big plans in the coffers. Randy says on Facebook, as long as nobody had to get rushed to the hospital to have chubby bunny marshmallows pumped out of their stomach, then it's got to be a win-win for all. He says, hashtag great radio. Oh, my stomach, I don't know if my stomach would agree with you. And I didn't even eat them. I don't know why my stomach is upset. I think it's just the idea of all those marshmallows and how I sucked. It was terrible. Let's go to our phones here. 855-212-4CBS, brought to you toll-free by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Jeremy is listening in Vancouver, Washington. Jeremy, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you very much for having me on. A long-time listener, first-time caller. I wanted to weigh in on the greatest endings for a show of all time versus the poorest endings. And before I give you my opinion, I got to ask you, The Office versus How I Met Your Mother?
You know what? I didn't watch either one of them. I know. I'm a terrible person. I'm not really a big fan of comedies. The last two real comedies I watched, I did watch Cheers, and I'll catch it on reruns. I liked Home Improvement. I liked Seinfeld, and I liked Friends. But otherwise, I'm a crime drama fan, so that's pretty much what I watch.
Yeah. Gross.
I don't watch comedy, so I'll let you tell me. Well, good thing I haven't asked you over to watch TV. Jeremy, I'll let you tell me which one you liked and didn't like.
The Office, one of the greatest things of all time, and the worst, How I Met Your Mother. I was a huge fan of How I Met Your Mother. I think they did a really great job all the way up until the end, and I felt like it was just completely rushed. And I was like, oh, well, you spent the last X seasons just talking about this guy's life, and then all of a sudden you just kind of throw in, oh yeah, that's right, we have to remember to come back to the main story, is how he met the kid's mother, and The Office, great character development all the way throughout, and I was completely invested. I'm a huge Office geek, so
cool.
Overall, yeah, great.
I've had a bunch of people tell me I should go back and watch it just because they know my humor. So the good thing about shows like this, iconic shows, is that you always can get them after the fact. So I binge watch a bunch of shows every summer when, you know, the rest of my shows are in hiatus. So I've got it on my list. Although now someone has said to me Parks and Rec would be better for me than The Office.
Oh. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good one. Parks and Rec, yes, obviously you got it. It's a must-do. but there's a reason why Netflix's number one show, where they make the most money on, is The Office. So you got to watch it.
Okay, Jeremy. Safe to say that you and I will never cross paths in a TV room anywhere, but it's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Joe is listening in Oregon. Joe, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening. Good morning. This is the first time calling. I'm a truck driver, so I catch you from time to time as I'm rolling through town.
Awesome.
Couple things. I was actually in an episode of the original CSI.
Wow.
The episode was called Revenge is Best Served Cold. I was the set medic, and they used me and my ambulance and my partner in the second or third scene from the end of the episode.
Oh, my gosh. You are now my hero.
Mark Helgenberger and all of them. Mark was such a beautiful person, not just physically. She was a very personable, very nice, very approachable. I got to work on a lot of TV shows and movies. So
that's awesome. I love CSI. I watched every episode of CSI ever.
Oh yeah. One of the finales that really kind of broke my heart and really made me mad was Deadwood. That kind of just stopped. Although now HBO is making a movie about Deadwood using a few of the original characters.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to watch that. The other one that I thought was a suitable ending but kind of left you hanging a little bit was, of course, Sons of Anarchy.
Was what?
Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, a few people have mentioned that, although most people seem to like it. You didn't think it was good?
Oh, I loved it. I'm a biker as well as a truck driver, so it's kind of like way out there that it's not how it worked, but it was a decent drama.
That's,
you know,
good.
I remember growing up watching Partridge Family and Brady Bunch and you know, things like that. So these things now are kind of, they're a little bit different, but it's hard to get into some of them. But some of them you get hooked on is just like 6 foot under. That was a great one.
Bunch of people have mentioned that one as well. Awesome. Thanks, Joe. It's good to hear from you in Oregon.
Y'all have a good night. We're going to head up the mountains now, so take care.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Be safe. That's awesome. I do love driving in the mountains, though I can't imagine driving a semi in the mountains or a motorcycle, come to think of it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jeff says on Twitter, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had the perfect ending. I don't even remember the ending of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I do remember the ending of ER. That one was a good one. I feel like they did us justice with the ending of ER, bringing back George Clooney's character. Bringing back the relationship between George Clooney and Julianna Margulies and having them. And you know what? I don't even know if that was the end of the actual series, but at some point we got the two of them together. So you get all these false finales too, right? Where one character's leaving and you don't, that's not the end of the series, but it's the end of that iconic character or a particular relationship. So those, I always appreciate when they tie the nice bow. Since life doesn't always give us happy endings, TV should when it can. Roger says this on Twitter, during a vet lecture regarding my dog's weight. Oh my gosh, I just had one of those recently. She recommended giving my dog marshmallows as treats. She loves them. Interesting. I don't know if Penny would eat marshmallows. Also, Penny doesn't do great with changes in her diet, so that makes me a little bit nervous. Maybe I'll give her one outside and then leave her outside for 12 hours and see what happens. Poor Penny. She's had a very traumatic week. Not only are we changing her food now, so it's senior food and it's supposed to be fewer calories per cup, but also she had to go get a bath on Wednesday. And while she's very fluffy and puffy and smells wonderful, she smells like vanilla, it wore her out. As you can imagine, taking a bath is it's an interruption of her afternoon nap. And so that was a day in which she was all kinds of traumatized, but she looks and smells great. So I'm very happy about that. We finally got all the sand off from the beach. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Jeffrey says, Sopranos, what was that? So I'm guessing he didn't like the ending to Sopranos. Alicia says, best ending was Cheers. Yeah, I remember Cheers. And actually, one of you on Facebook pointed out that it was the perfect ending of Cheers because the sign that they posted on the door, which was "We're closed." Scott says that's how it ended, and that was just right, I think. The ones that are done with a touch of class and grace, but also, even if they give you a happy ending, they give you the room to mourn. Maybe you cry. A lot of you have mentioned how you cried all the way through the ending of MASH. Those are the ones that you don't forget. The ones like Lost, unfortunately, I can't forget it, but I hate it. It ruined everything for me. So on Twitter or on Facebook, we're asking you worst ever TV series finales that kind of ruined the whole experience for you, or the best ever that made it worth your entire investment. And then we'll get to that, the Cleveland Cavaliers owner, Dan Gilbert, who can't help himself. And we'll get to more of your phone calls.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I will never be able to hear this song and not think of the series Friends. For me, the absolute best series finale of any of the shows that I've ever been completely addicted to. And Friends was probably the first one. NYPD Blue was my first ever crime show. I got really attached to that one when I was younger and loved it because I love Jimmy Smits and love Kim Delaney. And so I watched that all the way through. Don't think I picked up ER until it was maybe halfway through its run, but I got pretty addicted to that one as well. But Friends was the show that I absolutely adored. I would watch any episode. I still will watch the episodes when they pop up in syndication on some of the channels on my TV. And I can recite most of them. In fact, I very often will see my life through a Friends episode. And the finale of Friends was perfect. Monica and Chandler brought home their babies. Actually, they were getting ready to move out. And so they had to give up the apartment where the entire show took place. It was a rent-controlled apartment in New York City, in Manhattan. And then you had Ross chasing Rachel to the airport and Rachel getting on a plane for Paris to go take a job there. And then, you know, him trying to convince her to stay and she doesn't. She's too flustered. She gets on the plane and then she comes up with a reason why they have to stop the plane. But as she's calling him and leaving a voicemail, because he's still on his way back to his apartment, they get cut off because whatever's going on, and she's trying to get off the plane, they get cut off, and so he doesn't know whether or not she gets off the plane. So in typical Ross fashion, he's screaming at the answering machine, and the door opens behind him as he's screaming, "Did she get off the plane?" And Rachel opens the door and says, "I got off the plane," and it's awesome. And of course, there's a joke about them being on a break, which he can't help himself when it comes to that. So there were some great nods to the series and some of the iconic moments, but there was also this proper deference to the fact that it was ending, and they were as sad as we were as viewers. So that's probably my favorite ending to a series ever, and I can think of plenty that I absolutely hated. It was something else that's interesting. The phenomenon that's taking place now in which you get a movie to kind of wrap up all the loose ends. So when a TV show gets cut off abruptly and it doesn't have the chance to finish its storytelling, or even if it does sometimes, like Downton Abbey is about to have an actual movie in theaters, and I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know whether or not there would be a Game of Thrones movie that will follow on HBO, but Timeless was a show that I feel like should have had more legs to it. But for whatever reason, NBC canceled it a couple times. Canceled it once, brought it back, and then canceled it again. And they didn't get to wrap up loose ends. In fact, they left viewers hanging this past year. And so what they did was put together a 2-hour TV movie that essentially addressed all of the questions and gave us the perfect ending. Now, it wasn't an actual series finale, but it was a nice movie to wrap things up. And you're kind of getting more of those now where you get TV movies to address everything that should have been addressed in the series finale. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Gary says on Facebook, the ending for 6 Feet Under was probably one of the best endings in a series ever. James says Frasier had a great series finale. Brian says best ever was ER, worst ever Silk Stockings. That's not a show I ever watched. Let's see. Joey says the best was Big Bang Theory. The worst was ALF. So see, some of you are telling me Big Bang was awesome. Others of you are telling me it sucked. And so I have no idea what the consensus is, but I feel like it's pretty split down the middle. Jake is the man after my own heart on Facebook. Lost. The finale ruined the whole show for me. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it did. Mark is listening in Michigan. Mark, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks, Amy. How about Quantum Leap?
I never watched that show. Did you like it or didn't like it?
It was okay, but it left it wide open. And the 1991 World Series.
It left it wide open like the 1991 World Series?
Well, the 91 World Series ended really in a superb fashion, too.
Oh, that I don't remember. I wasn't working in sports then. I was around, but I wasn't covering sports.
Well, Kirby Puckett stole on a game winning for the Braves to win the series. Mm-hmm. And then he did the home run in game 7.
Oh. So why do you feel like that was a bad ending?
That was a good ending. I'm just saying the Quantum Leap was a bad one and the 91 World Series was a good one.
Gotcha. Okay, so if you're looking at it as a TV series, I gotcha. Sorry, I wasn't following you there. Do you have a best TV series that you feel like gave you satisfaction?
I couldn't tell you. Some of them are okay. They really haven't had a very good ending series yet that I have found.
No?
No.
All right, well.
Maybe Little House on the Prairie, maybe.
Maybe. I did watch that show when I was a kid, but I don't remember the ending.
Well, they blew up the town.
Oh, nope, don't remember
all the buildings except the church.
Okay. I will take your word for it, sir. But I don't. That was way too far back with me. I have a hard time remembering things that aren't like in the last couple of years or that I didn't cover specifically in my career. Thank you so much for your phone call. Now, as I'm looking back, the 1991 World Series, that Game 7 was a 1-0 game. And, of course, Kirby Puckett, Game 6, he's the one that helped them to force the 7th game and had the walk-off home run in the 11th inning. So I've seen the videos, the highlights over and over, but I have a hard time remembering dates and actual series. So to tie those together, it's a lot for my brain. In fact, if you ask me 5 years ago who won the World Series, I'd have to count backwards. let's see. Gary is listening in Jacksonville. Gary, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. I remember when you were talking about Antonio Brown and the way he left Pittsburgh, and I called and said, Ben deserves the blame, too, for some of the way he handled it with Antonio. Well, he finally came out and admitted it.
Mm-hmm. He did. He talked about his poor leadership last year, although specifically his poor leadership he tied to them.
Well, you were more critical of Antonio, thinking that Ben, I remember at the time, and I said, well, Ben bears some responsibility. Well, and now at least he finally admitted it. Thanks,
yeah,
Amy.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about that. I've talked about that, how Ben's leadership needed to be tailored to each of the guys that he was leading. You have to know who it is that you're leading. I never absolved Ben of all responsibility, but I don't care what Ben did. For Antonio Brown to act the way that he did, that's on him as a grown man. He just lost control of his emotions and all the stuff that has happened since he decided he wanted out of Pittsburgh. That's on him. That's not just on Big Ben. Ben certainly deserves responsibility for the way they finished last season and for the fact that he goaded Antonio, not recognizing how that might blow up in his face. But there's no way Brown doesn't have to be responsible for everything that he did since then. And going AWOL on his team, that's not on Big Ben. I don't care what Ben does. Forget about Ben. What you do is you show up because you get paid to do so and because you're a professional football player, even if that means you have to suck it up. Shut your mouth and show up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Brandon's listening in Seattle. It's nice of Gary to inject himself into our conversation, though. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hi, yes, first team.
Sorry, I'm going to put you on hold because we can't hear you. I'm not sure if you're on a speaker or just a bad connection. Ice is listening in North Carolina. Welcome to After Hours.
What's up, Amy? If you might can't hear me, if I got a bad connection, I don't know.
No, you're okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go old school on you.
Okay.
Good Times. You might don't never remember it.
Good Times. Is that the one with... That wasn't
JJ
the one with the apartment.
Walker, Dynamite.
Oh, right. Dynamite, I remember that. But that wasn't the one with George Jefferson. Oh, that was the Jeffersons. I was thinking the Jeffersons.
Oh, that was the Jeffersons, okay. Yeah. But I'm old school, and I watched Good Times, all that, and it had a good ending. And I don't know about bad endings, but that definitely was a good one, because I'm old school like that. Old school hip-hop and all. But we definitely listen to you all the time down here in West Charlotte.
Awesome.
When we're making our runs, and we love you.
Oh, great. Thanks so much. It's good to hear from you. I appreciate it. I don't remember Good Times. I do remember the Dynamite, but I didn't ever watch the show. Actually, you know what happened on Wednesday night? If I'm not mistaken, Wednesday night was when they had the live editions of both All in the Family and the Jeffersons. And according to the news reports that I heard, but according to the producers, they didn't change. I think Jimmy Fallon actually was one of the producers. They didn't change any of the scripts. They went with the original script. So they didn't amend them to make them more PC. I didn't watch them because I had a commitment on Wednesday evening, but so I don't know whether or not they, before they started it in front of a live studio audience, if they said, okay, well, there may be some offensive language here. You know, they gave like kind of a disclaimer or a warning. But I do know that they didn't amend the scripts. They went with the originals. So I appreciate that. Maybe I'll go back and watch it. Let's see. Craig says on Twitter, the best series finale was MASH. The most disappointing was St. Elsewhere. Brandon says L.A. Law ended really well. Keith says best finale was Justified. We dug cold together. The worst for me, HBO's Deadwood. It was rushed. It left me unsatisfied. Same lead actor, Timothy Oliphant. A lot of times I'll commit to I'll commit to a show if I really like a particular actor or actress. And I like to stick with the show. So I don't like to be a quitter in every part, in any part of my life. I don't like to be a quitter. And so if I start a show, it takes a lot to get me to dump the show. If I get invested, I feel like I have to watch it all the way through to the end. Plus, I'm a sucker. I feel like, oh, it's going to redeem itself. At some point, we're going to get something better out of this show. But I'll say if I'm if I leave the... So I very rarely get to watch TV shows when they air because I work at night, obviously. And so if they stay on my DVR longer and longer before I watch them, at some point, I may delete them and decide, okay, that show is done. But I usually give it every chance to redeem itself. Paul is listening in Michigan. Paul, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, how you doing, Amy? This is Paul. I was going to call you about some of my shows I really truly liked back then. Like two, one of the shows, West Wing, I didn't like how it ended, so I thought it was a good problem.
Okay.
And one of my favorite shows was Dallas, but over the last 3 or 4 years, it was like it made me sickening. But one of the things I really wanted to call you to talk about is about, please, like you say, don't pump the brake on Toronto. But if Milwaukee gets there, I just don't see him doing it in Golden State. Because the boy can't hit from the outside. They put a Mickey Mouse defense in and force him to pass the ball off. And it'd be like a track beat after the end. Because make the other people beat him. I just can't see Milwaukee beating him, especially if they're going to let that big boy try to lead the offense for him because he can't hit from the outside.
Well, he can every now and then. You're right. That's not the strength of his game, but we've seen him hit some threes. Definitely the physical defense is one way to get him out of his game. And if you get him into foul trouble, too, that also is an asset. But to keep him away from the hoop is the best way to negate that athleticism and strength that he has. And, of course, the rebounding as well. So I feel like when you look back at the track record that the Warriors have, for instance, with LeBron James and the Cavaliers, but also Kawhi Leonard when he was with the Spurs, Kevin Durant when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, they've got great experience defending small forwards who are very good at what they do. Paul, thank you so much for your phone call. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not it's the Bucks. We'll see whether or not it's Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors. We know that these teams now have guys that are banged up, and the series goes longer and longer, and that's definitely an advantage to the Golden State Warriors. Jimmy Kimmel was the co-host of last night's All in the Family and Jefferson's episodes. Forgive me. Again, pop culture, not my department. I try, but sometimes I mess up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.